is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, here on Real Liberty Media. I invite you to join me listening to other shows here on Real Liberty Media, shows such as Behind the Woodshed with Hal Anthony, evolutionarily engaging in counter-propaganda tactics and related work. We have It's All Connected with Grimner and Circle. They connect all the dots. The subject doesn't matter. The connections are real and tangible. Free Your Mind with Grimner and Moose Girl. You can break from thought constraints on the scope of your vision only by realizing those limits that have been presented to you do not apply to you. They are not real. Those concepts make people feel comfortable by giving them thought boundaries. This is the Free Your Mind Show with Moose Girl and Grimner. Sit back and listen and see your way beyond the world as it has been defined. A Pondergander with Vin E. To think and reason, raising expectations through thought-provoking episodes. If you cannot do great things, do small things in a great way. Grimner broadcasts the Sunday Blues Show live on Sundays from noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. He plays all kinds of blues, from great oldies like Robert Johnson, Howlin' Wolf, and John Lee Hooker, to the most modern hard-rocking blues from Joe Bonamassa, Papa Chubby, and Samantha Fish. And all of this stuff between, like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jack Bock Project, and Gary Moore. He also plays blues music from classic rock bands, the Rolling Stones, ZZ Top, Cream, etc. And while he is playing the music, we are in the Real Liberty Media chat playing a rousing game of trivia. So come on over and join us every Sunday for some great tunes, fun trivia, and great chat. There's also a Top 10 Countdown where Gary L. and Gigi's Boo play the top 10 songs from years gone by, and they provide some interesting historical facts and trivia about the songs and the era. These are all great shows with great content and inspiring messages. Come spend some time with us. Get to know us, and we will get to know you. Also, if you love what you hear and want to represent, we have Real Liberty Media gear. You will love the artwork and it will inspire conversation. Check out our Amazon store and Real Liberty Media goods from our website, reallibertymedia.com. This is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist, here on Real Liberty Media. Man, what a week it's been. And gee, many Christmas. I was cutting it close here at the very last minute, firing up my stuff. And I don't mean that kind of stuff, but my electronic stuff. And headphones weren't working, so I was kind of screwing around with that. And I guess I'll have to screw around with it later. Man, I hate doing that right at the last minute. But, oh, well, here we go. We're going to do it anyway. Oh, wait a minute. Just everybody stand by for one sec. Silence on the air, I know. Bye. Okay, sorry about that. But the new puppy had gotten a hold of some bubble wrap. And he was chewing it up, and of course, you know, everything. You're the same as kids. Everything goes right in their mouth. Gotta chew, you know, that's a way to test the environment. Chew everything. And I mean everything. I don't even know if puppies have, do they know that they're not supposed to eat some stuff? Apparently not, because I'm sure some animals get poisoned from eating stuff that they don't know that they shouldn't have. But yeah, he's a little ball of energy. Anyway, so you guys, I'm so happy that my life is kind of returning to normal. you know, we had the heat wave, I lost my well pump, I got that installed, but lost power, got power and water back on, and then I had a septic problem, we got that handled this week. And this weekend, finally, I just got to sit back and relax, sort of. Mostly I did get to kind of kick it in the evenings anyway. So I'm kind of glad to be returning to some semblance of normalcy here. Hey, and I wanted to say thanks to Grimner, and I hope all is well with you, my friend. I know you had a little issue this week. I'm not really going to talk about it, but I'm glad you're here. I hope you're doing well. And also, I just wanted to say, what an awesome chat here on Real Liberty Media. If you're listening outside of Real Liberty Media on a podcast, BitChute, wherever you might find this, you need to come by the chat room. Man, the people in this chat room are connected to something, and they can get information. I was kind of this morning getting ready for my show, and I'm going through all the stuff that I want to put in, you know, my show. And I keep seeing these great links and going and, you know, kind of listening to other people and reading other stories. And it's crazy. It's just crazy how much information comes out of this chat room. So please come and join us at Real Liberty Media. Just click on a show, click on the live chat, get in there and, you know, introduce yourself and kind of, you know, just check people out and listen to what they have to say. Follow the links. As far as I know, I've never gotten a link that contained anything like virus, you know, like would cause a virus in your computer, anything like that. Just some great information in there. A thought went through my head, and I swear to God, it went in one side and right out the other. But I know what it was. I don't know if you guys kind of followed this whole cyber polygon thing this week. I was talking about it with my one of my grandsons, and you know, he's like 17 or 18. I don't know. He's a youngster, and he was panicked when I told him, well, you know, this is a simulation, which means they're probably going to take down the internet. And right, Rob works. That says all of our links are 100% absolutely not scanned for dangerous content. Yeah, I know that. So you better be using Linux computer system and be careful out there. Hey, but this is what I was going to ask you guys. So I heard this whole cyber polygon thing was going to be another simulation, you know, that the government tends to do right before the real thing happens, like the pandemic and like 9/11 and like the cyber hack of the oil pipeline. And then I saw that, you know, everybody had to install this patch. You know, it was urgent that everybody who had a Windows 10 computer had to install a patch. And I was thinking to myself, because of course half of my system is Windows and half is Linux. I dual boot. And the only reason I do that, although now I don't really have a need to do it, it's because I was playing a game that required a Windows operating system, but now I've kind of quit playing that game, moved on to something else. But when I heard that everybody had to install this patch, excuse me, got a cough, I was thinking, I'm not installing that patch. And the reason is because I was thinking of that patch being something they were installing so that they could carry out the simulation. So unfortunately, or fortunately, Microsoft, I didn't install your stupid patch. Maybe I'll pay the price. Hey, maybe that's why my headphones weren't working. I seriously doubt it. I have something else kind of along those lines, too. Oh, I know what I was going to say. You're going to hear about this a little later in the show. I'm going to talk about COVID again. It's never going to go away, especially until we... Grimner, great chat. Patch this. And it's flying finger. So COVID's never going to go away. I'm convinced, you know, this is kind of the end game or part of the end game. But I was, and I'm going to have a little news later that's going to talk about this nasal swab. And probably people in this chat room already know about this. But I started kind of reading this story about how, I'll get to it in a minute, but just like the Microsoft patch being part of the simulation, this, what I call it, something polygon, I already forgot, I'm an idiot. I was kind of thinking this nasal swab that they were testing us with is actually a kind of part of the platform, and you'll see why, hopefully, if I get to it today. Yeah, Cyber Polygon, thank you. I have so much flipping stuff to get to. I'm definitely at least up for doing a Tuesday show this week, I think. Who knows? Sometimes you get all ready to go for a show and you fly through stuff like crazy and then you don't have any more information. But I just wanted to say again, the chat room, it's so great to have so many people looking out for so much stuff and passing that information on in the chat room so we can all be just a little bit more informed. It's fantastic. Anyway, RobWorks asked if I played online, and I was playing an online game. You guys are hilarious. I was playing an online game, but now I play, I'm kind of back to playing on the PS4. I was actually going to talk about that a little bit. I'm still playing SnowRunner. That's the slowest game you'll ever be addicted to. I'm not kidding, because your vehicles are all, in the beginning, you know, you don't have good skills, and your vehicles aren't prepped for running in mud and snow, and so you're spinning your tires like forever trying to go like a mile. It's ridiculous, but it's also very addictive because you just want to keep going and building your vehicles. And one thing I noticed, I think the studio that made this game might have maybe some kind of a Russian base, because all the Russian vehicles are way better than all the American vehicles. And I don't know if that's like true in real life or not, but there sure is a bias in the game, like the Russian vehicles just do so much better. But so on with it, getting on with the show proper, I guess we should say. The condo collapse in Florida, that sucked. I guess there was a horrible storm this week, that sucked. Hurricane, I guess, came through and turned into a tropical storm, kind of soaked everything and in its path. Oh, good. The dogs and the cat are going to be fighting while I'm doing the show. That's good. They'll have fun. Hopefully nobody gets hurt. Hope nobody gets an eye put out. Anyway, and the assassination in Haiti, the president of Haiti was assassinated, and now they think there was an American citizen involved. That whole Haiti thing is kind of crazy, too. I don't know how familiar you are with Haiti, but, you know, like one half of the island, Port-au-Prince, is like really nice, and then the whole rest of the island or country, whatever it's called, is just like horrible third world poverty, sickness, crime like crazy. And not that I've been there, but I had a friend who went there on some kind of a medical mission. And there was a doc that worked in the hospital there, and he'd been there for like 10 or 12 years, and they tell everybody who comes there, look, don't go to town, and especially don't go to town by yourself. Like, if you go to town, you have to take one of these kind of security people with you. Well, that doc had been there so long, you know, he was kind of a welcome member of the community, and he went to town to get some money, and they killed him. So, kind of can be a very brutal place to do anything, even do some missionary work. Although he wasn't, I don't think he was there any longer as a missionary. He was, or doing mission work, I should say. He was part of the staff of the hospital. But still, you know, I guess treated like anybody else who might be there. So, Let's see where we going today. Oh, yeah. I was going to talk about the, you know, Republicans or, I guess, politicians in general. I was thinking about, you know, what, I'm not going to say it, but, you know, seriously, this whole infrastructure deal, so ridiculous, so costly, not really going to do anything, but what is new, right? Oh, so this was an interesting story. So did you see where Newsom, that's the governor of California, I don't have my notes up. He decided to close down this prison in Susanville, California, and the labor union leader, this is kind of interesting because usually they're kind of on the same side, but the labor union leader in that area of California is kind of calling Newsom out, saying he's closing this facility because it's mostly a Republican community and they don't agree with him or his ideas. So he's closing it down to kind of punish him. But I mean, that's kind of the state of politics today, man. You know, I guess if you're in charge, so to speak, because it's no longer a representative republic as it was intended, basically a dictatorship or tyranny. So, yeah, you just punish whoever you can, whoever your opponents are, and however you can do it. But I thought that was kind of interesting, because the title of that particular article was something like Newsom's losing his mind, or something like that. He's going, you know, going rogue. But thought it was interesting anyway. Okay, so here we're going to get into some coronavirus news. And the reason is because I ran into so much new stuff. New to me, anyway. Maybe to a lot of you guys, it's going to be old hat. I have to open my notes on my computer. But basically, the reason is that I'm talking about COVID again is because there's so much new stuff coming out, or some information that maybe was out before, but we ignored it. You know, because some of this information, I guess there's some new emails that came out from Dr. Fauci's, you know, server or email release, Freedom of Information Act, you know, released a bunch of Fauci emails, and now they're putting this whole picture together. And not only that, but they're finding these researchers with a long history. Got to take a drink. Great. And I'm out of stuff to drink, too. This is an awesome show, because I'm probably going to take a break and go get something to drink in a minute, too. But, yeah, they're finding all kinds of emails and all kinds of researchers connected with Fauci and connected with gain-of-function research and connected with bat virus research and bat virus coronavirus research and gain-of-function research with coronavirus. All of these things are coming out, and they're all being linked directly to the Wuhan lab. It's just that now the picture's being put together. Now the facts are coming out, so it's no longer so easy to ignore the facts anymore. You know, as it once was, I guess, not so easy to ignore, but just easy to apply your cancel culture to the information that was, you know, that anybody tried to dispute Fauci or to claim that this was a lab-generated virus. You know, it was easy just to cancel that person on social media, just to call them liars or either cancel their account or make them sound like idiots or call them liars or make it sound like their information is fake news. And that's where we're going today. I even noticed a story today, and it'll be in the show notes. There was the guy who actually invented mRNA, the protocol, call it a vaccine or not, but he's the guy who developed the whole mRNA system, and LinkedIn actually canceled his account because do you understand the hypocrisy of this? You know, because I'm that guy. I'm always looking for the hypocrisies. I'm sure I have my own. I'm sure I do. There's no doubt. I'm human. But LinkedIn cancels the guy who developed mRNA platform, vaccine, whatever you want to call it, the mechanism. And he has been critical of the way it's been used, so LinkedIn cancels the very guy who created that system. Whether you like the system or not, whether you believe that it's going to work or not, I mean, I think the guy has some valid points in his criticism of the use of mRNA vaccine or the mRNA platform. Still, he's the guy who created it. He was the one who started it. He was the one who spent the years and hours and, you know, who knows, hundreds of thousands of dollars in research figuring this out. And he says, you know, because he was critical of the use of mRNA as a vaccine platform, and LinkedIn, like, pulls his freaking account. And I thought it was kind of funny because he was actually paying for the account. It's a paid account. It's like a premium account. And they cancel his account, the original creator of mRNA platform. I was looking for it because there was something in my notes, because there was something else I thought was really... Oh, I know what it was. So I was thinking, well, you know, I've had a LinkedIn account for, I don't know, I think since LinkedIn started, I've had a LinkedIn account. And because, you know, at the time, you know how all these things go. At the time, it's kind of touted as a way to be connected, a way to have headhunters find you or you to find other jobs or, you know, who knows what it was in the beginning, but somehow I fell for it long ago, and I had this account on there, and I kind of kept it up to date, sort of, but not really. But then, when I read, I'm going to read this to you, it's Dr. Robert Malone, who identifies himself as the inventor of mRNA vaccines, said that LinkedIn recently deleted his account after he made comments about the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines and questioned whether they're appropriate to give to certain groups of people. Now, that sounds reasonable to me. I think most of us feel the same way. You know, there's some people who clearly don't need any kind of vaccine to this disease because it doesn't really affect them very seriously. Even traditional vaccines, if they had them, which they won't for another 10 or so years. But it appears his personal account was removed earlier this week without warning or explanation from LinkedIn. And here's the punchline. A subsidiary of Microsoft, said his wife, Jill Malone. Yeah, that explains it. Microsoft, of course, would cancel the guy's account for several reasons. One, of course, being that, you know, apparently it's fake news or he's starting some kind of conspiracy about mRNA vaccines. The guy who actually figured it out. But it's all fake news. And, you know, Microsoft has a dog in the fight because, of course, they own several patents to vaccines. They don't want anybody talking bad about it, even on their little LinkedIn platform. I really had no idea it was a subsidiary of Microsoft. So guess what? Later today, my LinkedIn account will disappear. Well, who knows? I guess if I can't make it disappear, I'll just post some stuff about COVID mRNA vaccine stuff, and they'll delete it for me. Kind of along those same lines, did you see this where Facebook is hiring your friends to narc you out? So they're looking for, you know, people to tell them, Facebook. So what they want to do is they want you to tell, report to Facebook, anybody that you think is an extremist or may have extremist ideologies. And I remember back when BO was in charge of this country, and remember when he said he thought it would be great to have a civilian corps of basically police, you know, the brown shirts. I guess this really isn't far from that. Maybe it's one of the first steps in that direction. He couldn't actually put, you know, brown shirts, in the community with their little armbands and who knows what else. But knowing that so many of these platforms are aligned with those beliefs, you know, it looks like Facebook has just jumped on the bandwagon to have normal people, everyday friends, point out who the extremists are. So I guess, you know, any of my friends, I don't even know, how many friends do I have on Facebook? I should go look because I have such a small account. I think I have maybe 5. Can we do that just for fun? No, because I probably have to log in and all that. I only go there I don't even know the last time is I've gone on there. I'm going to go on there real quick. Let's do this. Oh, my God. All that keeps coming up is porn. How about that? I'm kidding. Not. Okay, let's see. How many friends do I have? Where do you even find that? Oh, here you go. Friends. I have some friend requests. Nope. Nope. And nope. People you may know. Come on. Where's my friends? Friends. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, I have 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them are family. I hate Facebook. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so back to the COVID thing. I'm telling you, I have some stuff today. I hope I can not only find it, but relay it in a way that makes sense. Okay, here we go. So, I have Fauci, bat research, and disinfectant. This was an interesting bunch of stuff. Because they released some more emails. You know, I don't know how all this works. I guess when they do a Freedom of Information Act request, they get a bunch of stuff, maybe a little bit at a time, or maybe they get a big dump at once, and then they can only kind of go through it, evaluate it, and release it a little bit at a time. But some of the stuff that they found in Fauci's email, and then I think they went on and looked up some of these people themselves, really is kind of interesting because, of course, now we're all talking about whether or not this virus came from the Wuhan lab. And I'm pretty sure, I really hate to jump to conclusions, but come on. Does anybody truly believe anymore that this came from a bat or a penguin? A pangolin? I forget what it's called, the other critter that they say may have. Anyway, but we got to go through the motions, I guess. Okay, so it says, recently exposed documents also show that researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology were scrambling to find disinfectant and ask a national... Wait a minute. Anyway, they were looking for disinfectant, but that's not... I think that's out of order. We gotta put this back in order. Damn it. Okay. That's done. That's done. Here we go. Okay, it says the National Institute of the recently exposed documents also show that researchers at the Wuhan Institute of Virology were scrambling to find disinfectant and asked a National Institute of Health official for help. The NIAID gave at least 9 grants to EcoHealth Alliance, a U.S. nonprofit organization focused on funding unknown viruses and infectious diseases in nature. EcoHealth Alliance reportedly used those grants to work with Chinese scientists on research such as probing the emergence of a bat coronavirus years before the COVID-19 pandemic. Judicial Watch lists the 9 grants to EcoHealth Alliance from the NIAID where Dr. Fauci had been director since 1984. One grant awarded each year between 2010 and 2012 to EcoHealth Alliance working with Chinese collaborator Jinping Chen of Guangdong Entomological Institute to study in China risk of viral emergence from bats. Interesting, right? The risk of viral emergence from bats. That was in 2010. One grant awarded each year from 2014 to 2017, working with Chinese collaborator Cheng Wen Qi of the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in Guangdong, a project titled Understanding the Risk of Bat Coronavirus Emergence. Another grant in 2012 to EcoHealth Alliance, working with another Chinese scientist at the China Normal University in a project titled Comparative Spillover Dynamics of Avian Influenza in Endemic Countries, which is kind of interesting if you go back to the avian flu and what was that other one called? SARS, I think. And there was one other one. I actually studied it for a while back in whatever it was, 2002. Did some hacking for the U.S. government. In 2018, a grant was issued to EcoHealth Alliance, again working with Key, in a project called Understanding the Risk of Bat Coronavirus Emergence. So the recently emerged emails also show that scientists at China's Wuhan lab were scrambling to find disinfectant for equipment, including positive pressure personnel suits. After news of the coronavirus outbreak in Wuhan, Zimjing purportedly wrote to Kuhn on March 20, 2020. This is interesting. The 2019 novel coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 outbreak is a major challenge for global public health security. Infection with SARS-CoV-2 has been associated with serious acute respiratory distress syndrome with large number of patients hospitalized and relatively high mortality. We had a very hard time in combating the infection in Wuhan, the epicenter of COVID-19 in China, and now we can see the situation goes in good direction with no reported confirmed case, no reported suspected case in the last 2 days here. I seriously think that was a lie when this person wrote this email. Sorry. My colleagues and I have been working on characterization of pathogens, antiviral screen, vaccine development, animal modeling since the early January this year, and some progresses have been made. I hope our understanding of the virus and technology could be valuable in the global fighting to the virus, it says. Sorry, there's a little language barrier, obviously, in translating from Chinese to English. There's also a February 2018 email from Dr. Ping Chen, the NIAID representative in China, discussing a type of new flu vaccine using nanotechnology from China's Wuhan Institute of Virology. This is what's crazy about this. Judicial Watch added that the Chinese had blocked all internet links to reports on the new technology. This development allegedly prompted Chen to write a night note. I don't know what a night note is, but maybe it's kind of like came in through the back door to the U.S. government, which said, the intranasal nano vaccine can target broad-spectrum flu viruses and induces robust immune responses. So you remember earlier when I was talking about Microsoft providing that patch, you know, right during the simulation of a terror attack, cyber attack on our internet here in the United States, and how the patch could have been part of the simulation. Here is what made me tell you earlier about that nasal swab. When you go through the drive-thru to get tested, those nasal swabs, when here it says in 2018, the Chinese had blocked all internet links to reports on the new technology. This development allegedly prompted Chen to write a night note to U.S. government officials, which said the intranasal nano vaccine can target broad-spectrum flu viruses and induces robust immune responses. Kind of crazy, because if you think about it, so let's just say for example that this intranasal nano vaccine would successfully protect you from COVID-19. Well, why wasn't that promoted as a solution to protect the entire world population? I mean, they knew about it in 2018. So why instead did we have to rush this mRNA platform? You know, and now, I mean, now the movement is that everybody has to get the vaccine. They have to get the jab. You're not considered protected if you've had the virus and survived, even though scientific research now is showing that there's a minuscule chance of you becoming reinfected if you've had COVID-19 and survived. But we're not going to count those people as part of the protected bunch. The government wants 70% of people protected. What's weird is, like, almost every single government wants 70% of people protected. Well, except, I mean, there's some countries that don't have any. But it's kind of crazy that it's really strange to me and worrisome in a bit that nasal swab that everybody's been being tested with could easily have contained a vaccine, air quotes, or maybe even the virus for that matter. And then what's the purpose of the mRNA? Because everybody, I mean, I think we're all in agreement, it's some kind of a platform. They even talk about it as a platform to launch other immune responses from. I don't know. I really just find it really disturbing that Chinese had this nano vaccine available in 2018. You know what else is really crazy? I'm sorry, my notes are so effed up this week. I'm having a hard time kind of finding my way through it. But one of the things that I did want to, that I ran into was one of these people who did the experiments on these bats. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Yeah, so this is kind of interesting. In 2002, but let me see who this is. Okay, so here's this Shi Zhengli, the director of the Center for Emerging Infectious Diseases of the Wuhan Institute of Virology is the common thread through which many key research projects and gain-of-function experiments on coronavirus are connected. Her work shows a curious pattern of deception tracing through her publications from 2013 to 2020, in which a key source of coronavirus most closely related to COVID-19 was concealed. In 2002, an outbreak of the novel coronavirus known as SARS resulted in the deaths of 774 people worldwide. And investigations quickly established that the virus spread from bats to civets and then on to people. Now, honestly, I got to tell you, kind of like looking back on things now, I'm calling that one into question also. I have a feeling that's not so much what happened. You know, that, I guess, was the official conclusion back in 2002. But as we've seen from this little outbreak, maybe that is not how it happened. The SARS outbreak would prove to shape Xi's career, moving her from field research to work in level 2 biosafety labs before culminating in gain-of-function experiments in China's first and only Level 4 lab located in Wuhan. On December 12, 2007, Xi and her team published a paper in the Journal of Virology that showed how viruses could be manipulated to infect and attack human cells using an HIV-based pseudovirus. Now, this is interesting because something else I'm going to tell you, hopefully before the end of the show, about HIV protection, it kind of links into this too. This experiment, funded by the Chinese Academy of Sciences, was the first indication that Xi's Wuhan laboratory was acquiring the technologies and skills required to manipulate viruses collected in the wild. In 2011 and 2012, she and her team conducted a 12-month longitudinal survey of a colony of horseshoe bats at a single location in Kunming City, Yunnan Province, China. This single location was Shitao Cave. While she and her team were conducting their survey at Shitao Cave, an unrelated group of six workers began clearing back bat excrement from a copper mine shaft in Mojiang, Yunnan, approximately 200 miles away from Xi's group, according to the Sunday Times. In April 2012, according to the Wall Street Journal, those six workers became seriously ill from a pneumonia-like disease that resulted in the deaths of three of the men. Notably, all of the public reports state that the mine shaft was abandoned, but none of those same reports explain why the six miners were there to clean out the shaft. While there's no media mention of this strange isolated outbreak, and the Sunday Times notes there appears to have been a media blackout surrounding the entire incident, she and her team, fortuitously already in the region during this new outbreak, abruptly shifted their focus and location and spent the next 2 years collecting samples from bats located in the mine at Mojiang location. A virus allegedly found in one of those samples was later revealed to be the closest known match to the virus that causes COVID-19. So what's interesting about that, kind of if you follow the timeline, is that they were doing these studies on bat coronaviruses. I'm thinking, having, you know, okay, I mean, I'm just a dude, honestly. I have a little bit of education. You know, I like kind of looking into things. I like researching stuff. I like to try and think things out. This is what I think probably happened. I think she probably, because her research was in finding these viruses, and, I mean, as she herself states in her own works, that her purpose was to find out how to how to attain gain of function with these viruses and make them attach to human cells and make them, like, attack certain proteins in human cells. I think she was probably well on her way to doing that and using it in bats. They probably had to find some remote cave to breed her bats in. And they probably, I'm guessing, captured some, well, they didn't. They probably had somebody go capture some bats. They probably altered this virus, put it back in the bats, and released the bats to the wild. They went to look for the bats, thinking that they were probably in this one certain cave, because whoever gathered the bats probably told them, well, we got the bats from this one cave. Now, this is total speculation on my part, honestly. I could see this happening. So whoever gathered the bats and whoever released the bats, you know, said, okay, we released them in this area, you know, back to their home cave or whatever. And maybe what happened was they were at the wrong cave, or they were at a cave close within 200 miles, or the bats migrated to a cave 200 miles away. Maybe the bats, have a seasonal variance where they move to this other cave, or maybe she didn't do any of this. But I'm just saying, if she did and released those bats, and those bats are what caused those six people who went in to remove bat excrement, I mean, hello, there's a pretty good way of getting exposed, other than, I guess, having the bats land on you or bite you or scratch you or poop on you or whatever. You know, it could have very well been her initial kind of leap into this. And trust me, well, don't trust me. Really, don't trust me. But China doesn't give a crap about people in general. So they probably sent Uyghur Muslims in there to clean out that bat poop and, see whether or not they got sick. I mean, they have, millions of people at their disposal who are in, prison camps of one sort or another, making Nike shoes and Adidas and Samsung products and Apple, and don't get me going on that, but, it could have happened that way. And then out of those six people, I mean, I'm sure she derived some kind of information from, autopsy, but maybe they gathered, I'm guessing that they gathered some medical information about what those people got sick from, and maybe it had her signature on it. Maybe it had her little signature gain of function COVID virus in it, and then it's gone on from there. So I wanted to tell you about some other things that are going on in China that's just crazy. Oh, but I did want to say this. So did you know, somebody posted in the chat earlier about, name Amazing Polly, was that her name, Beth, or somebody in the chat will remember. But anyway, I was listening to some of her podcasts today, and she pointed out this guy that, I forgot to turn my air conditioner off. Sorry, Rob Works. Okay, I'll keep my mouth closer. Amazing Polly, yeah. So she was talking about this guy who smuggled Ebola. Is the mic fading again? Like right now? Oh, I turned my head when I said that. That was stupid. Anyway, she pointed out this guy who smuggled Ebola virus. And I was thinking to myself, we think that people who work in these facilities who have access to this stuff, we think that they're trustworthy. But trust me on this. People will do stuff for different reasons, either political gain or financial gain or popularity or just because they're evil bastards. I don't know how many of you guys have spent any time in or around correctional facilities, but of course I have. And I can tell you this. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. I'm just saying. Like, inside the facility, inmates can literally get anything they want in a facility. Because people are willing to get stuff in that facility. And the easiest way to get it in is having staff members bring it in. Because not all staff members are searched coming in or going out. So these people that work with these things, I mean, that you can bet your ass that there are times when they're being offered huge amounts of money to, you know, let a little something out. Ebola, for God's sakes. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me at all, you know, if something like that were to happen. I mean, I guess this is the whole, I don't want to call it conspiracy theory. I mean, if you believe that people believe that the world population should be limited to a certain number, and that's their goal now, is to start wiping us out like crazy. And if they're going to do it, they're going to do it. I mean, you know, the funny thing is, that when it's all said and done, in a couple hundred years, a couple thousand years, it'll be the same thing again. Well, of course, unless some of this other stuff happens, this other stuff I'm gonna share with you now, because of course, China, being the upstanding members of the world community that they are, here's what they've been working on. They think this information, I got to find the title to this. It was so awesome. And yeah, I turned my head again. So if I faded, that was me. Let's click this. Okay. Four ethics breaking biological experiments touted by Chinese scientists as world first. Okay. So these are four ethics breaking biological experiments touted by Chinese scientists as world first. So they're very proud of themselves for these four ethics-breaking biological experiments. Number one, a rat model of male pregnancy. This is awesome. This makes me so happy. This makes me so happy that now our trans males, is that right? Or trans females, I'm so confused, will someday be able to have babies. It's just awesome. On June 9th, researchers from China's Naval Medical University published a preprint paper on a rat model of male pregnancy on the non-peer-reviewed site BioRxiv. This is all in the show notes, so you guys can go read this wonderful stuff yourselves. Number two on their hit parade, human-monkey chimeric embryos. Isn't that awesome? You guys know what chimera are? I mean, I kind of do. It's when you combine more than one living organism's genetic material. It's basically making monsters. What is that island called? Island of Moreau. Forget the name of that island. But they said some pretty crazy stuff. They said some pretty crazy stuff was going on that island. Kind of chimeric stuff. On April 15th, a research team from Kunming University of Science and Technology in Yunnan, China. Yeah, the island of Dr. Moreau, that's right. And the Salk Institute for Biological Sciences in the United States published a paper on the Cell website. The Cell website. Announcing that they had successfully grown the world's first human-monkey chimeric embryos. Embryos with both human and monkey-derived cells. Damn. That is so awesome. Can't wait. I knew this was a bad thing in the 80s when I was in college. I started college in 1980, if anybody's wondering. I talked about Dr. Stahl before. I thought he was pretty damn smart. He was pretty much a genius. And when he described what basically we are living today with GMOs, I just knew it was not a good idea. But that's me. Maybe I'm not the right kind of scientist. I'm obviously not the right kind of scientist for today's world. I think too much. But I mean, there's got to be a limit. You know, it kind of reminds me, these things always kind of bring me back to the Tower of Babel. And how man at that time was just trying to reach the heavens so that they could see God or be with God or experience God or reach the heavens or whatever. I mean, it's kind of what we do with the weather, trying to manipulate the weather. It's kind of what we do when we say man-made global warming, is that we're trying to give ourselves this so much power as human beings that we can actually affect the weather. And now, you know, we started GMOing vegetables a long time ago, you know, with the corn that doesn't get killed when you spray Crossbow or Roundup on it or whatever freaking poison they're putting on it to kill weeds, and you have a plant that can withstand it because it's got a gene that resists the poison. You know, and we do that, I've said before, by putting virus particles, virus DNA into bacterial DNA, having the bacteria multiply it, and then putting it into the plant DNA. So we've already been combining these things for a long time, and now we're up to, you know, human monkey chimeric embryos, and yay, we're successful. Isn't that awesome? So here's the one that I thought was really kind of interesting, because it goes back to this is good, because I'm not going to get to number four. Maybe I will. I know Grimner will let me go on if I wanted to. But number three was interesting, because what I said earlier about the AIDS virus. The experiment number three of the four ethics-breaking biological experiments touted by Chinese scientists as world first. Here's number three, gene-edited babies. In December, I don't know if I could go on for another hour. I need something to drink, and I need to smoke. And anyway. In December 2018, Chinese scientist He Jiankui announced at a major academic conference in Hong Kong the birth of twin gene-edited baby girls who were immune to AIDS. He claimed it was the first case in the world. He said his team used CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R, it's an acronym, technology, to edit out the CCR5 gene in embryos so that the babies might have a natural ability to fight AIDS in the future. The case sparked widespread condemnation, of course, from somebody, global scientific community, with experts concerned that altering the genome of an embryo could cause unexpected harm. It's kind of funny. I don't know, who do these people think they're dealing with? I mean, they know that Chinese don't really... I mean, maybe the Chinese government cares about some people, but in general, they don't. I mean, they've got so many millions of people, billions of people, that they don't have to care. They can just run through them, you know, they'll get more. They have all these political and religious prisoners they can use for whatever. I mean, they harvest their organs. They might as well use them for all these other experiments. But anyway, the global scientific community, with experts concerned that altering the genome of an embryo could cause unexpected harm, not only to the individual being modified, and I said, who really cares, not to Chi-Coms, nor the Americans who have made life have no value, just throw it away like we do everything else, but also to future generations who pass on these same changes. I mean, I guess being immune to HIV might not be a bad thing, but it's kind of weird that, you know, you just created these two weird, not weird, but, you know, that you took two embryos and screwed with them like this. But that's where we're headed, you know, human, you know, editing human. Then I guess that's what they're looking for is they want to create, you know, probably what they want is they want a race of humans that just is the yes man humans, that don't think for themselves, that don't sass, that don't talk back, that, you know, just, you know, hey, we need you to get a vaccine. Everybody jumps in line, you know, smiling, happy and all that stuff. Okay. I am going to go on to number four. Probably be just a couple minutes. But this is crazy. This is number four, ethics-breaking biological experiment. Batwoman Xi Zhengli, a scientist at the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China, sparked an ethical and moral debate by conducting a gain-of-function experiment in the course of her research on the CCP virus, which causes COVID-19. In 2015, she, together with her collaborators, published a paper in the journal Nature Medicine on the genetic modification of a SARS-like virus, SARS-CoV, bat coronavirus, to allow it to infect humans with greater infectivity. This GOF, gain-of-function study, in which the virus was genetically modified to make it more lethal or transmissible, amounted to the creation of a new strain of the virus that was expected to cause an outbreak in humans, the so-called potential pandemic pathogen, PPP. Did you hear this just now? I mean, when I read it, I was like, did I just read that correctly? So this is one of their ethics-breaking biological experiments? And I mean, they just spit it straight out that they used gain of function to increase the infectivity and transmissibility and the lethality of this COVID virus. Dr. Sean Lin, former lab director of the viral disease branch of the Walter Reed Army Institute of Research, told the Epoch Times Chinese language edition that the cross-species experiment itself would create new viruses that are not found in nature, making them not only more virulent or infectious, but also helping the virus mutate and leading to cross-species mutations. And what are we looking at now? I saw even a lambda variant the other day that we're up to lambda now, which has got to be like halfway through the freaking alphabet. So, you know, not only did this gain of function make it more transmissible and lethal to humans, but also made it mutate faster, more efficiently. And then there's this little article on, maybe I'm going to finish it up right there. Yeah, I think that's a good place to stop. You guys, thanks for putting up with this, with me and this show. Sorry it was a little bit discombobulated today, but I got to figure out my electronics thing here. Probably just a simple reboot, I'm guessing. But you guys are awesome. Thanks very much for having me. I hope you guys have a great week. I look forward to hearing those of you who do shows, hearing you soon, and definitely love seeing you in chat. So thanks very much. We are out of here.